Okay, welcome back on a Monday night. Crazy out there, just crazy. And I can only urge all of you, please, you can get through this if you prepare. Don't wait around. We don't have any time left. What's going to happen? I cannot tell you. I can tell you what the options are, and the options are anywhere from an incredible de-escalation in Ukraine, a peace of sorts, a disarmament of Ukraine, all the way to full-out nuclear war. That's where we are. That's what's on the table. And it's not going to go away easily. I just don't see it. Zelensky is now thanking Zuckerberg for helping him win the propaganda war. This is madness. See, there it is again, though. Propaganda war. How? Social media. It's all about the media. Life is being lived through and projected by social media and what they call news and information. So here's Zelensky, the man with the white nose and the, well, we'll call it a coke problem, because it's obviously something that he is engaged in, and there are others, he's not the only one, is now thanking Zuckerberg. I can't believe this. Anyhow, it just gets crazier. We're going to talk about a number of things tonight. We have a full schedule of things. We're going to jump around from topic to topic. Lots of things going on that are just not being reported at all. When, I ask you again, and quasi-rhetorically, when was the last time you heard a mainstream newscast talk about COVID? It doesn't happen very often anymore, and many people, and I tend to agree with them, feel that this war was ignited to remove a fading and failing COVID psyop from the table. Oh, people are still dying by the millions, and it's getting worse. And as their immune systems collapse and their blood is literally destroyed, they die. And they're dying at home, they're dying on the job, they're dying in the hospitals. They are just dying. But you're not hearing about it anymore because it was running out of steam. So they covered it up and just swept it away. It's the way they do things all the time. Erica, welcome back. Are you there?
I'm here, Jeff. Good evening.
Good evening to you. And
thank
I
you.
Tell you, yes, this whole thing about COVID vanishing, being replaced by war, it was not hard to call, pretty simple. But have you seen much coverage at all about COVID? And let me say one other thing. What this war is designed to do, and I'm looking ahead here, but see if you agree with me. After this war is ended, whether it's a thermonuclear or otherwise, and there are any people left around, they're still going to be dying. All those who have been shot up with the bioweapon, they're going to be dying. So after a nuclear exchange, what will they blame all of these people's deaths on? Radiation.
Could be.
See? And you were the first person to point out that the bioeffects of these horrible so-called vaccines very much resembled radioactive poisoning. So now they got the perfect cover coming up if there is an exchange, and there may well be. So they always have their options, don't they?
Oh, they sure do. And I think they're hitting us from all angles, so nobody's going to know what's affecting them. They're just going to be sick, and they won't know why.
Well, we have Bobby Malone to lead us from the darkness into the light. And how many others? The lunatic virus deniers and all of their cadre. It's just incredible to me. And the flat earthers, God bless them all. They believe it. That's fine. We have a First Amendment. People who say there are no viruses believe it. God bless them. There's a First Amendment. They're allowed to believe in insanity if they want to. It's okay. It's not a problem. We have issues about viruses that many of them miss. They think about, oh, the vaccines, Pfizer, Moderna. How are they delivering their spike protein manufacturing to the body? They have their own injections. with 500 trillion mRNA packets per injection, right? About?
Something like that, yeah. And way then, more than you would get from a natural infection, that's for sure.
And the virus deniers just will not quit. I think they're gathering steam. They've got their leaders, and it keeps going. Yeah, oh, there they are again. They won't quit. They will not quit. They believe what's convenient for them because it gives them answers. At least they think it does. But it's not science. It's social.
Well, I think they feel like they're rising above it somehow, which is fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with taking control of your health and not succumbing to fear. But I think there's something to be said for identifying what the threat is, understanding it, and taking some sensible precautions to protect yourself. Putting your head in the sand is not going to help you.
And that's what many of these people are doing. And they also, what's funny is, when they mention Pfizer and Moderna, they forget that the other platform of injecting spike protein manufacturing into the human body is via what platform, Erica? What's the platform?
Oh, we have viral vectors, which is the adenovirus. That's the one they're
currently
using.
Yes,
a virus.
It's a virus. They're using a virus to put the spike protein into people's bodies. Do you virus deniers understand that? Johnson & Johnson? Sputnik? Do you get it? AstraZeneca? It's a virus.
J&J, yeah. It's a goddamn virus.
It's called an adenovirus. Or if you want to be adenovirus-oriented, go ahead. It's a virus they're using to inject people. Oh, I'm sorry. Viruses don't exist. This is insanity. We're literally stepping over the edge into oblivion. That's how close we are. And I keep playing the animal noises because that's what it sounds like to me. Their arguments, they're absurd.
Well, again,
that's what they do. They don't make sense. Listen to them. And if you're a scientist, you'll scratch your head, say, who the hell are these people? Where did they get this? Because it doesn't add up. None of it. It doesn't make sense. Go ahead.
No. I think that they're able to get away with this type of thing because of the scientific illiteracy of a good portion of the population nowadays.
Ignorance, illiteracy, stupidity, and the arrogance that goes along with those things is shocking.
It is.
They really think they know it all, and they know next to nothing. Now, here, let me play this. I'm going to play it again. This is one of the most brilliant doctors in the world, Dr. Chetty, and listen to what he says about the spike protein, because what we're going to talk about this hour has a lot to do with the spike protein. Here's what he says. Please pay attention.
Now, the most important thing, I think, for us to understand is that the pathogen that was causing all the death in COVID illness, now I use the word COVID illness because we haven't really isolated the coronavirus that causes it, but in COVID illness, the pathogen is spike protein. And spike protein is what the vaccine is meant to make in your body. So if I had to give you my opinion as to what is happening on a global scale, and a lot of the work that I'm doing behind the scenes is in this direction. Spike protein is one of the most contrived toxins or poisons that man has ever made. And the aim of this toxin is to kill billions without anyone noticing it.
That's precisely what is being done. And the vaccines, so-called, that they're using, one of them is the mRNA type, and the other one is the virus type. They're using the adenovirus to bring the death and destruction into the human body. Don't forget that. It's simple.
Indeed, yeah.
Okay. Now, here's another thing that especially the virus deniers seem to think they know everything about, and that's what's happened to our women. Our women are being sterilized. They're being reproductively destroyed. We, from the very beginning, were hearing about women's menstrual problems from the kill shots. And when it got to the point where we're hearing about little children, three, four, and 5 years old, females, bleeding after getting shot up with this stuff, you had to know then, intuitively, if you're still above room temperature, that we were in big trouble.
Yeah, this has been going on for over just about a year now.
Year, yeah.
A year, a full year. And initially, it was, you know, just kind of minimized, belittled, wasn't taken seriously, still really isn't being taken as seriously as it should be.
Can you tell me why? What's our guess here? Why not? Why are so many OBGYNs, for example, or internal medical doctors, why are they being so damn quiet? Why aren't they standing up and saying this is a mass sterilization program in addition to a mass genocide? What is wrong with them?
I think some of them are quite aware, but they're being silenced, canceled.
Afraid. Scared.
Yeah. Yep.
Threatened.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there are still OBGYNs pushing this thing on pregnant women, which is really shocking.
Well, they're accessories to murder when the child is stillborn.
Yeah.
There's no other way to look at it.
You know, they better open their eyes and get on the right side of the fence, because it's all coming to light now.
Didn't you tell me that, who told me? South Korea. Oh, I talked to Dick Allgaier today. His wife, Mimi, is South Korean. And in mainstream media in South Korea, television, radio, print, they are now stating as a matter of fact that the injections are killing people. It is a genocide operation. They're stating it in Korea. I can tell you that straight. Not here yet.
This ought to be interesting.
Yep, it's happening, and Dick was very, very articulate about it. He explained exactly what was going on there, and they're not playing games. They're calling it out.
Well, finally, it's about time. And meanwhile, Borla is saying that we need a fourth dose.
Well, you just watch if there is a nuclear exchange of any significance or anything like that. They will then have their excuse as to why so many people are dying of AIDS. They'll blame it on the nukes. They'll blame it on radiation. Just watch. I'm telling you, that's right on the table. If they want to use it, they'll use it.
Well, I think that will finish people off, because, you know, we already have the study that says the DNA repair mechanisms in people who have had the vaccine injection is impaired. So they are, when they are exposed to genetic insults such as radiation, ionizing radiation, they will not be able to repair the damage.
They're doomed, so to speak.
Yeah, and you know, that's an extreme case. There's going to be situations where simply UV light, you know, we all incur genetic damage, the level of the DNA from just UV light, and that won't be repaired as it should, and I suspect we're going to see quite a bit of skin cancer.
Cancer? We're going to see all kinds of cancers.
Well, I mean, we
are seeing. Yeah,
yes.
Of course. Of course.
But part of that mechanism is just the impairment in those repair pathways that are just totally compromised because of this spike protein.
Tell me more about the spike protein. How diabolically intricate and multifaceted is it? People think of it as one thing. All right, it's a spike protein. But what are we finding out in totality about it? How diabolically diverse is it?
I would say, because it is biologically active, meaning it can induce signaling pretty much anywhere in your body, And it seems to derange many different pathways in the body and just create chaos and havoc. I mean, all the signaling that your body relies on to communicate from various organs and tissues and cause reactions to happen, they're all disrupted. All disrupted. And so, you know, you start with the blood. The minute it comes into contact with the blood, the spike protein all by itself begins to cause clotting. And they're not normal clots. They're big, clunky aggregates that don't break down. They have amyloid deposits in them.
All right. This is, let me back up just a little bit on this. I asked Erica the other day, clots all over the body from the spike protein, from the injections. Are these clots the same kind of clots that people normally form when they have a clot? She's had a clot in my leg last week. I know deep vein thrombosis is one, but I had a clot in my head or whatever. When somebody who is not vaxxed and not shed upon gets a clot, how does that clot compare to the kind of clots that are being manufactured in the body by the spike protein? Are they the same or not? And this is what she said.
No, the normal clotting process is organized, orderly. You know, it's a nice layer of mesh, whereas when you're exposed to the spike protein, the clot forms very quickly, and there are proteins in it that are all, they're abnormally folded. That's what the amyloids are. And it can be platelets and red blood cells. They're misshapen. They aggregate together. And they collect fibrin and just create a giant clump, which can block blood flow in the vessel. And they don't break down. They are resistant to what's called fibrinolysis, which would be an enzyme process that would break the clot down and then get rid of it once it's completed its repair job. But they're clumpy. They aggregate. They're, as I said, they don't break down. They're very fibrous. So they're a problem. They're a big problem.
When you say fibrous, what causes this fibrotic profile? What is it?
Well, fibrin is part of a clot. It creates a mesh so that the tissue can begin to heal, kind of like a scaffolding or a graft. And it's intended to patch up a wound. But in many cases, I mean, there is no wound. Sometimes, yes, the endothelium, the lining of your blood vessels, is damaged from the spike protein. There's an inflammatory process that's happening that's damaging the blood vessels. So the clot can form there. But it can also just form spontaneously from having the spike protein in the blood and having it interacting with platelets and red blood cells and fibrinogen. And these things all are activated inappropriately, and they just start forming a clot spontaneously. So that's a big part of the problem with spike protein. That's part of the reason it's so toxic. It makes your blood very thick.
We've seen pictures, we've seen video of people trying to draw blood, and they withdraw the needle when the blood no longer will flow into the sample collector, whatever that's called. And
yeah,
it's stringy. It's all stuck together. That's the blood. Now, that's a long, stringy clot. It's not like a little lump of a clot.
Yeah, and this starts forming almost immediately. I mean, if you remember, what was it, a couple months ago, we had that mother doctor in Germany whose son got the vax.
Yes.
And his blood was a mess. I mean, you could actually see, I'm assuming that's what these were, these long, stringy, white things in this very, very dark blood.
And some of it was white, okay? That was a little bit of a confusion for people. Most people think of clots as being red, blood, thick, but these were white.
Well, fibrin could be white. I mean, there's white blood cells in there, there's platelets in there, there's You know, so it could be whitish. And that's separate and apart from just the rouleau formation with the red blood cells. That's another thing. I mean, that's when the red blood cells have lost their charge. They don't repel each other. They just clump together. But then we also have that the spike protein also knocks the iron off the hemoglobin molecule. So now you've got free iron, which is very oxidative. It's going to cause a lot of oxidative stress. You know, it's a cascade of just pathology that is difficult to manage. And if you're unaware of it, and this is happening nonstop, 24/7, organs and tissues are going to suffer. They're going to be deprived of a blood supply. They're going to be deprived of oxygen. Blood, although people don't really think of it as an organ, is an organ unto itself.
So we have at least the spike protein. No one is even talking about the nanolipids anymore. The nanolipids used to encase the mRNA to get it into the cell, and the nanolipids in and of themselves can lead to catastrophic illnesses in the body. It's a very toxic item. But no one's talking about that at all.
Very few. I mean, the lipids that are needed to carry the mRNA this was always the problem. I mean, the technology is great, but they could never get past the toxicity of these positively charged synthetic lipid nanoparticles. Until now, you know, when all... the brakes are off with this technology, so anything goes. And, you know, it's probably 90 days before these toxic lipid nanoparticles are actually eliminated from the body. And the entire time they're there, they're doing damage. They're doing damage to all your cell membranes, which includes the little organelles inside every cell. They're trapped in there. They can damage the DNA. And that, you know, that is the stage for cancer, particularly now that you're producing a protein that doesn't allow for DNA repair.
Producing a protein that does not allow for DNA repair. Who thought this up? Seriously, who in the hell? What kind of insane person would have thought this all up? Just mind-boggling.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Bat Lady's, I think, taking some pride in this.
She has to be. Yes, yes.
I mean,
okay.
This is the consummate bioweapon. There's no question.
Well, what did Dr. Chetty say?
The most
evil,
toxic protein?
Deadly thing that humankind has ever created. And we're paraphrasing a little bit here, but the man is, if only Dr. McCullough would say that, right? If only...
Yeah.
Dr.
Well, I still maintain that McCullough is soft-pedaling it because he doesn't want to lose his audience. You know, if you try to tell that to the general public, they're just going to resist it.
I don't think this audience would, and the general public
is
going
audience,
to go.
But
no,
mainstream
the general
media,
public.
They couldn't take it.
That doesn't take the burden off of these doctors because they're not telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God, that's what a doctor should do. A doctor, a real doctor. I'm not saying McCullough is not a real doctor. But the idea of withholding things like that from people makes no sense and is unforgivable. Does Dr. Bobby Malone say that?
No.
Will Dr. Bobby Malone ever say that? No.
No.
Probably not. Because that it's called the lie of omission. Here's Dr. Chetty again. Let's see. This man has stated it more brilliantly and more succinctly than anyone else I have heard.
To understand is that the pathogen that was causing all the death in COVID illness. Now, I use the word COVID illness because we haven't really isolated the coronavirus that causes it. But in COVID illness, the pathogen is spike protein. And spike protein is what the vaccine is meant to make in your body. So if I had to give you my opinion as to what is happening on a global scale, and a lot of the work that I'm doing behind the scenes is in this direction, spike protein is one of the most contrived toxins or poisons that man has ever made. And the aim of this toxin is to kill billions without anyone noticing it.
All right, that's it. Now, that's all that anyone should stay to say while they're making a presentation. They should start with that every time and end with that to help people understand. It doesn't take much to say it. That was 40 seconds, 43 seconds. But it's crucially important. All right, now I've got something here. I got into the archive, Erica, so I've got the material. Unfortunately, the very, very long piece is too small, I think, to read. But I've got the Lauren Whiteman piece.
Okay.
April 25th, 2021.
Yep, okay.
Shall I jump into that?
Yes. This is really, I think, an appalling attempt by the virus deniers to explain the menstrual irregularities that the female population is experiencing. And I'm just really disgusted by it. It's putting a lot of blame on the women themselves.
I think there's almost an effort to do that to excess. I don't know why. I don't know who's doing it, but the women are being blamed for something that, my God, they're victimized to the ultimate degree with this. I'll read this in just a second. You ready?
Yes.
All right, this is by someone named Lauren Whiteman. Recently, we tried to discuss the latest misinformation and fear-mongering piece revolving around women's menstrual bleeding and V-shedding, the vaccine, right? So bleeding and shedding. How would you describe the shedding?
Yeah, shedding from the vaccine.
Okay. Unfortunately, this is the opening piece to, we didn't set the stage up right. This is the opening piece for a brand new Facebook group. Tell us a little bit about that before I read this.
Actually, this isn't new, but these are proponents of the terrain theory versus the germ theory, which, you know, already that's setting a tone of divisiveness and ignores the fact that it's always both. You know, yes, you need a pathogenic organism, but you also need a susceptible host. So, you know, if you have some resilience and you're not burdened by a lot of toxicity, yeah, you probably can fight off a lot. On the other hand, they are in these bioweapon labs right this minute coming up with ways to overcome all of your defenses. So
okay, and
I
Lauren
think you need to be able to maintain, you know, a perspective that allows for both of these possibilities.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and again, I wish to repeat that the two types of vaccines, in quotes, that we have, one of them is a viral platform. The adenovirus is used in a allegedly weakened or disabled state to be injected into the person to carry the spike protein instructions with it.
That's
fair?
Correct. Yep.
All right.
Yep.
A virus. Did you hear that? Virus.
Yeah, it's a virus, yes.
I know you heard it, but I'm trying to get to the other people out there. All right. Recently, we tried to address the latest misinformation fear-mongering piece revolving around women's menstrual bleeding and the vaccine's shedding. Unfortunately, the conversation tends to devolve into germ/allopathic reasoning. I am hoping we can shift everyone's perspective here so that we can learn to see through these regular attempts by the disease industry to create fear around normal body processes. First, let's start with some basic facts. One, no one else can make you sick from anything released from their body. What?
No,
Let me run that by you again.
No, there's no contagion, right? Okay.
No, there's no such thing as contagious disease of any sort. She says, number one, no one else can make you sick from anything released from their body, period. Number two, only you can create disease conditions and symptoms in your body by overworking your cellular metabolism. This is done predominantly by eating inappropriate foods for your physiology. Only you can create disease conditions and symptoms in your body. Predominantly by eating inappropriate food. That's how you get sick, friends. Did you know that? That's how you get bacterial and viral infections and all the rest of them. You eat inappropriate food.
If only it were that simple, really. If only it were that simple.
Number three, someone else's body cleaning itself can never cause disease in your body, nor can it cause your body to clean itself.
Okay.
Does she believe this? All right. Number four. Disease is about work. If you make your cellular metabolism work harder than it is designed to, then you create disease conditions and the body will try to heal itself, creating symptoms.
Well, I say okay. It's a partial truth, but it's myopic.
All right, this is
overly
the
simplified.
Beginning of the preamble to this new group.
It's now, like, yeah, these are the four basic tenets or pillars.
With these basic facts, she calls them facts. She's determining that for us. You see, she's not letting us make our. With these basic facts in mind, let's talk about what menstrual bleeding is and what causes changes in menstrual bleeding. Women are not designed to hemorrhage each month. Now, that's a bit of a biased statement, isn't it? A little colorful something?
I would take issue with the term hemorrhage.
Hemorrhage is a slashed vein or an artery, okay?
Yes, it's an inability to clot.
So it doesn't fit, first of all.
No, I mean, we're starting off on the wrong foot with the wrong definition.
Which doesn't seem to bother Christine at all. Women are not designed to hemorrhage each month. While it is common for people to bleed heavily each month and experience pain, that does not mean it is normal. Common and normal are totally different things. Common and normal are totally different things. I'm going to have to think about that one. It is common for people to eat cooked foods. It is not normal for humans to eat cooked foods. Where does this woman live?
And based Lauren, on what?
Lauren Whiteman.
Based on what?
It is not normal for humans to eat cooked foods. Okay. Now, this is the preamble to a group that has now over 25,000 members already? Devotees? Or at least the curious? Is that right?
Yeah.
and it'll grow. This is a new group. It is common for people to have symptoms of dis-ease from eating those cooked foods. It is not normal to have symptoms of disease. Well, maybe. It is common for people to have symptoms of disease from eating those cooked foods. So damn it, you're all been sick now because you've been eating cooked foods.
You know, this is, I think the origins of this was the raw food movement that was very much in vogue about 20 years ago when it sounded good at the time, but it didn't work for most people. I mean, the raw food diet is a wonderful way to detox, but as a permanent way of eating, it has a lot of shortcomings. And I'm personally aware of a few people that got very sick with it, malnourished, I would say. It's unbalanced.
All right. A woman who stops eating cooked foods will often see rapid improvement in the menstrual pain and a significant decrease in the volume of blood as they return to a natural diet. Sometimes they will see an increase in bleeding for a short time while the body cleans out, which will then rapidly diminish after the body is done cleaning the excess waste. Eventually the body will have completely detoxed and bleeding will stop altogether or only occur periodically as needed to eliminate small amounts of toxicity. Fertility will remain and ovulation will continue, but the heavy bleeding and shedding of the womb will be significantly reduced or eliminated because the womb is far less toxic and does not need to be fully rebuilt every cycle. Now, how does this stack up to biophysiology, what she just said?
It looks like a lot of conjecture. I mean, obviously, somebody's not really understanding the reproductive cycle. What the lining of the uterus is for. I mean, it is shed every month. It's intended to be shed every month so that the lining can renew itself.
And be ready, just in case it gets a fertilized egg that it needs to nurture.
Correct.
That's the game.
And I would say that the women who stop menstruating, that's usually a sign that they are malnourished. And the body is not prepared to carry a pregnancy.
For women, the womb is another elimination detoxification channel. And silly me, I always thought it was to nurture a fertilized egg.
Well, I will say this. Women will release iron through menstruation, which can be a good thing because excess iron can be toxic.
We've talked about that, yeah. But that's probably not the way the game is played for most people.
Right.
The body will use this avenue of elimination and detoxification to clean the body, just as it uses the kidneys, bowels, lungs, or skin. If the body has a lot of waste, then a lot of the womb will need to be shed. If the body has a lot of waste, then a lot of the womb will need to be shed, which is why women get heavy, painful periods when their body has a lot of excess waste that needs to be eliminated. Now, did you know that the womb was a primary organ of elimination and detoxification? Well, you do now.
I guess so. Boy.
Now, this is a new group, and I want to tell you that it has 25,000 members already, and these people are signing up, many of them, for this dogma that I'm reading, or katma, or whatever it is.
I mean, this is not addressing, really, the hormonal issues that are the culprit in these issues. And that can come down to liver congestion in a lot of cases, but what I'm seeing here is that the women are being blamed for eating cooked foods, and therefore they're having painful menses or a over-proliferation of the endometrial lining.
Right.
It's missing the point.
Well,
and it's setting
their
these
fault.
Women up.
They're
yeah.
guilty.
Yeah.
They
yes.
are guilty. They did it to themselves. Nothing to do with the injections. Nothing to do with the kill shot. No, the bioweapon has nothing to do with this bleeding. It's cooked foods. Cooked foods. Look, the lunacy out there that people are embracing and holding on to now, and I don't blame them. It's a very difficult time. Chaos, pain, stress. I get it. But let's not go off the deep end. This is wacko stuff. Heavy
yeah.
bleeding is the sign of a toxic body. The body is trying to eliminate excess waste through this avenue. You could have called it a boulevard, I guess. Heavy bleeding may also be a sign of irritation or inflammation of the uterus from an overwhelming amount of acidic waste. In this case, there are often fibroids, tumors, or cysts in the uterus present as well. Breakthrough bleeding, bleeding between normal periods. Now, this woman is not talking, hasn't mentioned one word about the bioweapon injections that over 200 million Americans have been given. Not one word. Breakthrough bleeding, bleeding between periods, is another sign the body has recently been burdened by further toxicity from all that cooked food. It can also be indicative of taking medications that specifically injure the womb, such as birth control or IUDs. I didn't know IUDs were medication. I guess they are now. Postmenopausal bleeding, or seniors suddenly getting their periods again, is caused by issues such as endometrial atrophy, a thinning of the uterine lining, vaginal atrophy, fibroids, or endometrial polyps. The bleeding could also be a sign of endometrial cancer. I guess cooked food is off the hook there.
And indeed, we are seeing really an explosion in endometrial cancer.
Well, that was Dr.
But it must be all
Ryan
these people
Cole.
Eating cooked foods, right?
It's the damn cooked foods. This is a site that's up to deal specifically with, and maybe the biggest site right now, I don't know, women who are suffering terribly from these bioweapon injections that they've been tricked into or forced into or conned into taking. They are now essentially sterile in many cases. They can no longer bring children into the world, which goes along with what we've been saying, that this is a mass sterilization program in addition to mass human genocide.
And I will add that the type of bleeding that's being reported is, I don't think it's ever been seen before. It's unprecedented. I mean, women bleeding for months at a time. I mean, to the point where some of these young women, teenagers, have needed blood transfusions.
And what kind of blood transfusions would they be?
Oh, now it's hopeless. You're just going to get spike protein tainted blood. But we have, there's a various report with a 5-month-old infant girl who received, I believe it was Moderna, who also began bleeding vaginally. 5 months old. What kind of cooked food is she eating?
Oh, my.
It couldn't possibly be what she was injected with, no.
The group is not a debate group. I don't know why people think it is. She's talking about some other group. The group is based upon Oh, no. She is talking about this group, isn't she?
Yeah.
The group, yes. All right. Let me back up. The group is based upon, not upon, a debate format. I don't know why people think it is. The group is based upon the proven terrain model, i.e., no viruses. Why don't they call it the cooked food model? The purpose of the group is to teach the terrain model, not to teach anyone's beliefs, whims, or fancies. What would be the point to misleading and harming people like that? People think there is some ongoing debate about human health because the disease for profit industry keeps people thinking that way. It's simply a lie. We have known for 150 plus years how to reverse disease, how disease is created, what the symptoms of the disease are, what the natural diet is. None of these things are remotely a mystery. They are just suppressed by the disease industry to keep the profits rolling in.
Well, and the message here, we've skipped a lot of it. It was very wordy. But the insinuation was that this type of bleeding has been going on all along. It's just that nobody was talking about it because it was taboo.
You mean hemorrhaging?
Yes, hemorrhaging. To the point where women are having hysterectomies because they can't get it to stop. Young girls are requiring blood transfusions. Infant girls are bleeding. But nobody was talking about it before.
So understand that not a word in this about any of the bioweapons, none of the kill shots, none of the injections. Do you see where this is taking people? This is called misdirection, misinformation. Don't think about the shots.
And it's making women feel as if they're at fault somehow for these abnormal symptoms, highly abnormal symptoms. They're doing something wrong.
Well, it's that damn cooked food. So, look, what this is just an example of the madness that's running around out there now. But this is controlled madness, because this is designed to lead people in the wrong direction, like most everything else out there now is. And I will back up again to Dr. Chetty and say, until and unless American media docs begin to make that statement that he made, they're lying. They're lying by omission. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, we have enough research now that is indicating that, yes, the spike protein is being shed. There was a study that came out that actually took exosomes from people who had been vaxxed and introduced them to mice. And the mice actually developed antibodies against spike protein. So there's at least that. And there may be other things in this thing, too. But the spike protein, as we know, is very toxic. And it is being released in the form of exosomes from people who have received the injection. I think some of this bleeding, it's still complicated. The NIH finally decided to allocate some money towards looking into it. A whopping $1.67
million. that much, huh? Wait a minute. I'm overwhelmed. That's an awful lot of money. That reminds me of the...
To be divvied up between five research institutions, so that's about $350,000 apiece, and they'll, I'm sure, get to the bottom of it. You know, that's a joke when you consider that Peter Daszak from Eco Health Alliance received $82 million to go look for viruses in the jungle of Southeast Asia. So where's the priority here?
I don't remember exactly, but I think the Big Morgellons research project had about $2 million funding. It was very small, and that was supposed to be done in 6 months, and I think 2 years later we still hadn't heard the results, which when we heard them was...
Yeah, they didn't find anything. inconclusive.
They said it was delusional parasitosis.
Yep.
That's what they said. They found nothing. So it was all delusional. Crazy. Wow.
So I'm sure they'll drag their feet on this and ultimately conclude that, well, we didn't really find anything that we could nail down.
Well,
and meanwhile, you know, women are really, really suffering at the hands of this thing. Whether they take the vax or they're forced to be around people who have been vaxed.
Please don't forget that. We're talking about shedding. And
yeah,
shedding
that is still just very, very real. Very real.
And it may even be getting to be more real all the time. We don't know. We're in uncharted waters. We're doing our best to lay it out. So there we go. Okay, that's it for tonight. Thanks for being here. And I hope that was somewhat helpful. But there is a lot of craziness out there that you've got to sidestep. Sidestep. When you come to a pile in the road, you don't step in it. You walk around it. That's the way this all works. So thank you, Erica, as always.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. My pleasure.
We'll talk on Wednesday.
Okay. Good night, everyone.
And we will be back with Mitchell Henderson in just a couple minutes, so hold on.